Hallelujah. Now, are you believing with me tonight? It don't sound like it, bud. Now, listen, I need you. I don't have the slightest idea what I'm going to do tonight. Well, now, that's wrong. I have an idea. I'll tell you for sure. I said, Lord, he said, just go do what I tell you to do. I said, well, what? He said, just go do what. So here I am. Hallelujah. Let's receive our evening offering. In fact, I need to talk to you about this before we receive the offering. If it didn't roll up on the highway or fly in the air, I wasn't much interested in it. because that's where my time was spent. The Lord kept talking to me as it kept growing and going on. Then he started, John chapter 2. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour hasn't come yet. Well, she didn't even answer him. See, mamas can do that. You and I can't. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, the important thing to realize is that's the way Jesus lived his entire life in the earth. To sum it up, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. Thank you, Lord. When it came time to build, well, no, I have to go back beyond that. We started out in a very small place, of course, and then a little bit larger, then a little bit larger, then a little bit larger, a little bit larger. But then very early 70s, I was flying home one day, and I was by myself in the airplane, and it was a bright, shiny VFR day, and I was not all that far from Meacham Field where I was headed. And I heard what I thought was audible at first. And it was in a broadcaster's voice. Coming to you from the revival capital of the world. And at first I looked down to my low frequency radio to see if it had been bumped up on a broadcast channel. I never listen to broadcast radio when I'm flying an airplane. I don't much like it when I'm on the ground. I'm sure ain't got time to listen to it in here. And I looked down there, and no, it was on NDB frequencies down there in the low band where it should be. And I thought, revival capital of the wind. I realized it wasn't audible, but it sure was to me. I know where the political capital of the world is. I know where the entertainment capital of the world is. That's Hollywood. I know where the country music capital of the world is. That's Nashville, Tennessee. But where's the revival capital of the world? And then I had to get busy and call approach control and all that. And I just didn't think about it anymore. Well, I thought about it here and there, but. I won't go into all of the things that led up to it, but then some while later, the property on which we are now, there's 1,500 acres there, that was a naval air station during World War II, and it was naval controlled by the Navy and a Marine air station. And it was a refueling depot between the East and the West Coast and so forth, and a number of other things going on out there. So, one of my board members called me and says, piece of property out here in North Town you need to go look at. I went out there. And when I set my foot on it, I heard that voice again. This is the revival capital of the world, and you're going to build it. Whoa. I said, really? And it just kind of stood there and we praised God, and Gloria and I did, and Brother Adams. Well, of course, we found out who owned the property. A man by the name of Pewitt, 89 years old, had never married, oil and gas business, loved God. Big supporter of Southern Methodist University in Dallas, and Methodist man, and just a dear man. I'd never met him. Whatever he says for you to do, do it. Don't be jumping out trying to make it happen yourself. That's the biggest thing on both sides. That is the biggest detriment in the kingdom of God, is God telling people, like, you begin to pick up, I'm supposed to build a church. And you don't stay there long enough to find out when, where, and how much. Just go out and go to yanking every lever and pulling every stump trying to get it to happen. You wind up in debt, and you wind up in the hands of people you don't need to be in the hands. Anyway, I learned this. I learned it from my dad. I learned it from my spiritual father, Oral Roberts. Just paid a lot of attention to him, spent time listening to him. So I didn't just go to contacting him and trying to find it. I just said, okay, Lord. It's your deal. I didn't pay any more attention to it. I'm shaving one morning, and I heard the Lord say. Now I'd pray in the Spirit. When I'd think about it, I'd pray in the Spirit. I don't go wandering around, how am I going to build a revival account? I don't even know what it is. No, don't get over into the mental arena with it. Keep it over in the faith area. When you think about it, oh, glory to God. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus. So then, 1979, like I said, I'm standing there shaving, and I heard it just as plain. You go see Mr. Pewitt. And tell him, now here it is, the Lord hath need of that property. The Lord hath need of that property. Don't be adding anything to it. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to make it where somebody else can understand it. If they don't understand it, that's their problem, not mine. Well, I'd never met this gentleman. I didn't know what he was like. And extremely wealthy man, and and of course he lived kind of small in a little smaller town out of the Fort Worth area there. Because he didn't have any wife, you understand? The only family he had was a niece that helped him and so forth. So I made an appointment, went over there to see him. And the young man that went with me, I said, "Now, Neil, I just sensed this really strong. Now, first, let me tell you something my dad told me. My dad was a world-class salesman. He trained over 1,000 men in the life insurance business. And he was a trader deluxe. I mean, and loved God with all of his heart. And he would always tell me when I'd go on a call with him and when he was training me as a young man in the sales field, he'd say, "Kenneth, keep your mouth shut." Yes, sir. And this was his favorite expression. Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And there's been 1,000,000 times that many sales killed with the same weapon. Now keep your mouth shut. Yes, sir. Well, we went in there and met Mr. Pewitt. And I said, and we introduced one another, and he spoke very slowly. I said, "Mr. Pewitt, the Lord has need of that property." He said, "Well, it's for sale." Now what do you do? I said, "Sir, you have to listen for the next word. You don't just jump out there and blah, 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 blah. No, just turn inward." I said, "Sir, I don't have any money, but God will get it for me." Now, we're sitting there in his living room. He's in his rocking chair. He's got a clock, a tick-tocker on the mantle. Sound like a depot clock. Not much of you kids on what a depot clock sound like. But it's loud tick-tocking. That thing got louder and louder. And he's sitting there and I'm sitting there. Neil's sitting over there, don't know what to do. But I'm not going to say anything else till he does. And we sat there. And we sat there. And we sat there. And then we sat there some more. And of course, it felt like a lot longer than it was. But it was a good 15, 20 minutes before he said anything. And then he said, "You come back to see me." Okay. So, made the appointment. I'm inquiring of the Lord, and the Lord isn't saying anything. He talked less than Mr. Pewitt did. But he'd already told me what to say. I've already said what he said say. Now, here's my point. Don't push this. Don't think you've always got to do something. People make huge messes. Ask me how I know. Because you think you have to do something. No, you don't. Roll the care of it over on Jesus. This is through Jesus, for Jesus, by Jesus, in Jesus, over Jesus, under Jesus. He is everything. Don't do anything till you hear from Him. Yeah, but I don't. It could put your yeah, but in your pocket. You have to train yourself. You have to train yourself to shut up. And only say those words that are filled with His power. Words that you've gotten from the written word and meditated them until they've turned into faith. Amen. And so we made the appointment, went off over there. He said, well, I'm going to see you boys through this. I said, Mr. Pewitt, something else you need to know. I don't borrow money. I don't believe it's right to mortgage another man's property. And that property belongs to Jesus. We rocked. Now, one thing that had really, really helped me, when they assigned me to drive Brother Robert's car, my boss, the man I flew under was Bob DeWeese, and he's captain of the airplane, and Brother Robert's the manager and associate evangelist, and he said, now, Kenneth, keep your mouth shut. I mean, boy, you know, this mouth shut business is big. He said, this airplane is a sanctuary. Amen. And he said, it protects the anointing. It is Jesus' environment. And he said, Oral Roberts doesn't talk. He said, you keep your mouth shut unless he says something to you. I said, yes, sir. And we would, you know, we'd go sometimes to and fro from the venue, the auditorium, something, never say a word. And so I had good training to come up with Mr. Pewitt. And we were driving on our way to Oklahoma City one day, and Brother Roberts, the minute he would get in the car, up would come his Bible. I mean, he'd just have it in his face, or he'd be sitting there praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And you'd be surprised how quiet it can get in a car when nobody talks. When the weather don't mean anything. Nobody's talking about anything. All of a sudden, he said, get up! But I jumped. I said, yes, sir. He said, people will always tell you you can't do it. If you will make these three things your guideline, you'll always be successful. Number one, find out the will of God. Now, that's when you ask all your questions. Number two, confer no longer with flesh and blood. Number three, get your job done at all costs. Well, I'm saying one, two, three, one. And just as soon as we got there, of course, I wrote it down. And so I told Mr. Pewitt, I said, I don't borrow money. And we sat there and rocked for about 20 minutes. And he said, you boys come back to see me. So we made another appointment. Now, this time, he wanted to meet at a small restaurant there in that town. Of course, we did. And he wanted us to bring somebody with us that was official, members of the board and so forth. And we did, you know. So I knew something's going to be said here because he wanted the officials there. And he said, "Now, you got anything against rent?" I said, "No, sir, I hadn't found anything in the Bible that's against rent." Now, he hadn't smiled at me this whole time, not once. He said, "I'm going to divide that property into four equal parts." All your rent is going towards the fourth quarter. When you pay for a quarter, I'll deed it to you. No interest on the rent. If God tells you to do something else, you give me 2 weeks' notice and everything's all right." He said, "Does that suit you?" I said, "Yes, sir." Now, see, I'd have never come up with that plan. The Lord's leading him. The Lord's leading me to be quiet. Now, I didn't just accept that just because it sounded good. But that Holy Spirit signal goes off on the inside of you. Oh, yeah. That inward witness. It's not easily described. It's when you know that you know that you know that you know that you know you know you know you know. Amen. And it went off inside my spirit, and I knew that I knew what I knew I knew. And so the man that our board member that went with us in the real estate business, and he said, "Can you write that just exactly like I said it?" He said, "Yes, sir, I can't." The total price was $5,080,000 divided up into four quarters, like I said. Now, that entire contract was on one piece of letter-sized paper. Can you imagine what a bunch of lawyers would have done with that? Now, any lawyers in here, I'm glad you didn't get your hands on it. Unless you are Holy Ghost lawyer. Amen. So he handed it over to me, and I signed it, turned it back to him. He signed it, and he handed it back, and he said, "Now rewrite that exactly like it is, except take $1 million off the price. I'm going to be the first donor." Boy, I didn't see that one coming. And he smiled, and he slapped that table. He said, "You're going to be bigger than Oral Roberts one of these days." He was so thrilled. But not till we got business done. Amen. Now, came time. We're sitting there, you know, we're doing everything and signing up, rewriting that and so forth. He said, "Kenneth, Portland Cement has been after me." He said, "There's a lot of gravel on this property. They've been after me to mine some gravel. I told them they need to talk to you." I said, "Well, okay. That does that mean then as soon as I get the first quarter paid for. No, son, I've given you all the mineral rights. Sell some gravel and pay for some land. Now, I want you to see something. He didn't tell me that on the front end. Now, that's the way God is. Do you remember when the two spies went out? Boy, Joshua had learned his lesson. He ain't sending no 12. He got him two that's already faith men. Do you remember what Rahab the harlot said to them? Where have you been? We heard what your God did at the Red Sea. Our hearts melted in us. Had they taken God at his word when that was fresh in the minds of the giant, they would have surrendered to him when they crossed the river. But no, they said, no, we know God said that, but we can't do this. God never works on just one side. He's working on the other side, but you're going to have to walk by faith or you'll never get there. You have to take him for what he says to ever get step two. Amen. No, he said, boy, sell some gravel and pay for some land. I said, yes, sir. Glory to God. Well, and finally, I told him, fine, quit digging those gravel pits. You've been fouling up my property, brother. Amen. I tell you, once we moved on what God said do, that's when you get in a hurry. Continuing to do what he says do. But the groundwork is laid on the word of God. And until you get direction, just shut up and sit down. Amen. Well, we wound up with a lot of gas wells flowing. Oh, yeah. Amen. And I kept, when I stepped on that property, I knew it was there. The Lord told me it was there, that there was oil and gas on this property. Well, I should have known a gas man bought it from the government, you know. But he never did find it. Anyway, see, he had given us the mineral rights. I knew it was there, and I kept praying over it, and I kept praying over it. You've heard of the Barnett Shale all over the United States where they finally learned how to get gas out of that shale bed, because for years and years and years and years and years, they'd hit gas in the Barnett Shale, which is just dried mud, but it's permeated with natural gas. But when you get it wet in drilling, it turns back to mud and fill up the borehole. And you can't get the gas out. Well, they struck that out there on our property, and the man that drilled that, well, let me back up a minute. Hold it. I kept praying on that. Lord, you said something, and blah, blah, blah. Nothing. And here I am shaving again. I shave a lot for that reason, you know. And it's because I pray in the Spirit a lot. And most of the time when I'm shaving, I'm praying in the Spirit. And he said, well, we drilled the first well, and a man, close friend of my dad's and mine, who's in the oil and gas business, and I had asked him to drill. The Lord said, it's time, do it. So we drilled a well, and we hit that shale, and he said, Kenneth, I don't want to do this. He said, we could lose that well. He said, I think we ought to just back out of it and just wait. I said, that's wonderful. Oh, what are we going to do? No, you're going to just shut up God's the one that said do it. So when he says do it again, that's when we'll do it. I'm not doing any more explanation, I'm not doing, nope. Several years went by. Guess what I was doing? Shaving. And I'm just standing there praying in the spirit. He said, call JB, open that well. Okay. A man 35 miles north of me across the county line in the gas business announced right at the time we plugged that well that he got a government grant for $5 million to develop fracking for a Barnett Shale well. We started praying for him every day. Really? We did. The day the Lord said, reopen it, JB said, I'm gonna call George Stevens. I've known him for 50 years. I'm gonna call him. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly what Mr. Stevens said. And no, ain't nobody does this in the oil patch. You understand? This is unheard of. He said, JB, you tell that young preacher, I'm going to help him get his well in. He said, now here's my son and here's my daughter. He said, they're running everything now. And as soon as we hang up, I'm going to call them and tell them to give you everything that Brother Copeland needs to bring in that well. Now here's the name of the guy that helped me develop that fracking that said was impossible to do. And I'm going to call him, tell him, come over there and bring that well in for you. Amen. I said, Lord, why did it take this long? He said, Kenneth, anybody can preach prosperity with a bunch of gas wells flowing. He said the wells had to be product of the message instead of the message being product of the well. And he said, it was your and Gloria walking by faith and confessing the word of God over that is the reason why George Stevens got the wisdom from me. He said it was, and the geologist made the statement, the reason we have massive Barnett Shale wells all over the United States from Pennsylvania to who knows where is because the Copelands prayed and took a risk, and it is in place today. Well, I didn't take any risk. There's no risk when Jesus tells you to do it. Amen. So, yes, sir. Let's just pray. Just pray in the spirit here for a moment. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. So we started building the headquarters. Oh, my goodness. And we finally got to the place where the money that was being spent in construction of the headquarters building, because, you know, we build without debt. And it finally got to the place that was pulling money out of outreach. Just cut it off. Shut it down. Shut it down. It was closed in, but the inside, nothing. And the Lord said, just sweep it out and shut the door till I tell you different. I said, okay. Rolled the care of it over on him. 8 months it sat there. I had people say, oh, Brother Copeland, wasn't that heavy on you? No. I didn't even think about it. You mean you just let that just sit there for 8 months? No, I let my faith work for 8 months. Just thanking God for it. Yeah, I'm not doing anything till you say so. Not doing anything till you say. Well, I got a phone call one morning.
Kenneth, this is Oral.
Yeah, I come to attention. I said, yes, sir.
He said, I'm coming to see you this weekend. I'll be there Friday.
He didn't ask me if I was going to be.
I said, yes, sir, come on. He said, I got a meeting I need to preach over in Dallas. I want you to drive me over there, and I'm going to stay there with in your home with you and Gloria. I said, yes, sir, Brother Roberts. That's wonderful. We hung up. I said, Gloria! She said, ah! You never saw a house get hit so hard in all your life. Man, we did everything but re-roof it, you know. About 3 days till he got there on Friday. So I drove him over. He came in there that night, stayed all night. The next morning, when I got down to the kitchen, he was already up and sitting there at the table. He said, you and Gloria, get your Bible. I want to talk to you a little bit. He said, I've just finished a new book manuscript, and I want to read it to you. I want to see what you think. So we're sitting. He said, what do you think? I mean, Oral didn't play with words. I want to tell you what he did one time. First time I spoke at Mabee Center, he said, come on, we're going to my house. We're going to have lunch. I said, okay. We walked in the den. He took his shoes off, sat down on the floor. He said, Gloria, take your shoes off, sit down right there. Kenneth, take your shoes off, sit down right there. Evelyn, take your shoes off, sit down. She said, Oral, I'm not taking my shoes off and I'm not sitting in the floor. I'm going to sit in his chair. He said, well, whatever you want to do. And I thought, glory to God. He said, now, Kenneth, teach me about faith. I literally said, you got to be kidding me. No, no. He said, now you boys have learned something about faith I don't know, particularly when it comes to confessing the word. He said, you sit down here and you talk to me. He said, Kenneth, you're looking at the hungriest man for God on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. And I did it. It wasn't comfortable, but I did. I'm sitting there, you know, teaching him. Oh, he'd get excited. I'd teach a little bit, and he'd take off on it. Well, that was a good part. So we walked in the kitchen that morning, and there sits Oral Roberts with his manuscript and his Bible with a big smile on his face saying, sit down right here and sit down right here. Oh, we spent all morning. And I walked away from there, and I said, oh, Lord, I mean, you know, you can imagine how thrilled and what faith is just driving on the inside of us. The anointing was so powerful there. And the Lord said, Kenneth, I've been in there every morning. Uh-oh. And I began to see where I'd been missing it. I spoke a few Sundays ago. We had our own meeting there in Bogota and Colombia. And then on Sunday, I spoke at the fire church. Glory to God. This young man started a church and nobody came. And he kept praying and nobody come to that church. Just, you know, the little handful. He couldn't get anybody to come to that church. And he finally went fasting and praying before God, what do I do? And the Lord said to him, if you give me the first half of your day, I'll show you what to do. So he started getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and spending his morning till noon with the Lord. And praise and worship and worship and fasting occasionally and praising and worship. Well, a few Sundays ago, I preached Sunday morning service there and he had 25,000 there. You know what he found out? He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. And he stayed still until he found out. And he didn't try to go out and work up something, because when the glory fell, people started getting healed all over the place. And the morning that I was there, glory to God, they had people out in the audience, and people, someone would receive their healing, up would go their hands, and they'd go talk to them and start up to the platform. And they had a medical doctor standing there to examine you to see if you actually received your healing. And if you weren't quite there yet, they'd say, well, on the platform, we want people that the manifestation has already come, but we're standing with you and we're believing with you. And some of them receive it like that. Would you like to be in that? What are you doing from 4 to noon? This is the easiest thing you ever did in your life. The other morning, I woke up at 2 o'clock and I just woke up praising and worshiping. So I about 2:20, I got up and went out on my deck. And I'm out there just praising God. See, it didn't seem like I'd been out there over about 45 minutes to an hour. And I looked and been there nearly 3 hours. So I went on in. When I walked in the door, Gloria was up. It was a little after 5. And I came in and I got talking to her about what the Lord was talking to me, and she and I got to talking about other things, and we got to talking about the very early moments of our marriage, and we got tickled, and we started laughing at one another, and we laughed, and we laughed, and we laughed. We never did go back to sleep. We got to think, we got to laughing about the first apartment we had. A garage apartment, you know, which put it on the second floor. And that first night, all of us, sudden about 3 o'clock in the morning, the room lit up bright as day. There's a train right there, and his lights doing this. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. That rascal's coming in that bedroom. He got up there with, I don't know, just our apartment was on the end of the street there. He got up with it to the other side of the street and it turned. She and I got to thinking about, I hadn't thought about that goofy place in how long. But see, when you're flowing with God and you're taking time with Him and He can laugh with you and you ain't all sweating and worrying about this and worrying about that, you get up in the morning and say, I ain't even going to talk about all that. I just want to hear from you. I've rolled all my cares over on you. I ain't worried about that. What I need to be worried for? Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I owe $1,652,000,000. Well, let me ask you something. You got the money to pay it? No. Well, shut up. I got so tickled at Jimmy Swaggart. This was years ago. He said I was laying there in the bed, and he said, oh, Jesus, I'm going broke. Oh, Jesus, I got so many radio bills I can't pay them, and I'm going broke. And the Lord said, Jimmy, you're already broke. And he said, I am, ain't I? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, Francis, wake up. Glory to God, we're already broke. We ain't going broke. We already broke. He said, I got so excited, I jumped out of bed and started running around the room shouting, thank God I'm broke. Thank God I'm broke. I ain't got nothing to worry about anymore. I ain't going broke. I'm already broke. What's he saying? He's hit the end of what he can do. Now get out of the way and let Jesus show you what he can do. Amen. That's really, it is really that simple. But it has to be by faith. Amen. Well, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Brother Roberts, I took him to Dallas and we did all that. He said, take me out there and show me your building. So we went out there. It's nice and clean on the inside, but, you know, no finish out on the inside at all. And he stood in the atrium and he began to pray. And he walked over and put his hands on the walls. And he began to pray in the Spirit. And we just prayed in the Spirit. And then he interpreted back a little while. And we just prayed and worshiped and prayed and worshiped and prayed. And we just left. I locked the thing up and went on. The Lord said, and this is just a few days after that. He said, go back to work on that building and don't quit till it's finished. Yes, sir. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't care. I said, thank you. We'll do it. So I called everybody else in there and I said, we're going to start back on that building. What are we going to do? I don't know. But we're going to do something. Whenever the Lord says, what do? Hours. There is a guy drove up out there with a truck full of sheetrock. He said, help me get this stuff off this truck. He said, I got another truckload just like it, and I need to get this one out of here. We said, where did it come from? He said, I don't know. Did we ever find out where that sheetrock? I never heard where it came from, but it's on the walls in there right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that don't mean you just sit around and twiddle your thumbs. No, you pray and you study and you do what the Lord's telling you to do. Glory to God. Mainly, first of all, you preach the word in season and out of season. Glory to God. But you always inquire of him, listening, praying in the Spirit. You start out where you pray 15 minutes and you think you've been there 2 hours. But no, you don't just see how long you can do this. How would you like somebody come in there and say, I'm going to do my best to visit with you 20 minutes? That'd give you that warm, fuzzy feeling all over, wouldn't it? No, you just begin to praise him and worship him in the Spirit. Worship him in the Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And here just a little while ago, he said, all right, fix this place. Play the video, please.
I'm Pastor George Pearsons. I'm coming to you from the headquarters building overlooking the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. What a thrill to have you with us as we celebrate 50 years of ministry. Think about it, 50 years. In the world, that's a milestone. But in the kingdom of God, it's a jubilee. And in the Jubilee year, the anointing is released to wipe out debts, set people free, and restore everything back to a place of superabundance. It's Amos 9:13 time when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. We began this year with a strong word from the Lord through Brother Copeland. Get your house in order. Well, that put us to work. We saw that many years of single focus on outreach had left our own home base neglected, with many areas in need of repair or replacement. So, getting our house in order has begun. Half the bottom floor of the 30-year-old headquarters building is finished. Another half has started, but there are still two more floors to go. Actually, every building on campus is calling for attention or even demolition, like this one left over from World War II when this property was a military base. In 1973, when Brother Copeland first stepped on this land, the Lord said, "This is the revival capital of the world, and you are going to build it." Then, in 1979, with great vision of the future, we took possession. But over the years, like the rest of our home base, the vision of the revival capital took a back seat to outreach. But now, its time has come. God is moving, and the revival capital of the world is alive and ready to grow. With 1,500 acres and 1,500 people at any given event, this is a small city with an airport. To get ready for the increase we already see coming, we must upgrade and expand our water, electricity, and sewer systems, and the cooling towers, and the roads, and the runways. Has outreach taken a back seat? Not hardly. Brother Copeland hasn't slowed down. Actually, he stepped it up. This includes all of our team getting more aggressive about reaching the United States, Canada, Africa, Latin America, and the islands of the world. And now we have the Gulfstream 5 that we've been believing for to get the job done, all while we put the word of faith on every available voice. But I'm glad to report to you that in 50 years, every faith challenge has had a faith victory. And that is how this will be done, by faith and the Jubilee anointing. It's harvest time, and we're calling in that harvest. Every financial gift sown during this Living Victory meeting will be used to thrust KCM financially into the end of the year, as well as allow us to further get our house in order. Is there something in your world that needs to be repaired, replaced, or renewed? We invite you to join your faith with ours as you sow your seed. Together, we will watch the Jubilee anointing bring in a supernatural Amos 9:13 harvest. Believe it. Receive it. And as Gloria says, take it. And remember, now let's say this together. Jesus is Lord.
Now, whatever in your life the Lord has directed you to do, or in whatever area you're pressing in, listen to Him tonight and let Him direct a seed towards harvesting. The whole kingdom of God is as if a man cast a seed into the ground. Jesus said the whole thing's compared to that. Brother Roberts told me one time, he said, "Kenneth, don't do anything." He said, don't ever start a project. Don't do anything until you have sown a significant seed towards it. Now, most people don't know this. The Lord gave Oral Roberts the revelation of seed time and harvest before he did the miracle healing ministry. Seed time and harvest came first. He was, oh my goodness, back there in those times, if you were an itinerant evangelist the way he and Miss Evelyn were, you didn't even have a home. You went from one meeting to the next meeting to the next meeting, and you stayed with the deacons and all of that. And then finally, he was pastoring a little small church in Oklahoma, and they didn't have a parsonage, and they wouldn't even talk to him about getting one. Finally, she said, "Oral, if you don't get me a house, I'm taking these kids and I'm going home to my parents." He said, "Evelyn, you wouldn't do that." She said, "You just watch me." She really put the pressure on him. So, prayer meeting night, mid-service week, he'd just been paid.
$50. That's it. And he said it just blurted out of him. He said, we're going to have a parsonage, and I'm going to receive an offering tonight for a parsonage, and I'm starting it with this $50. He got home. He said it was a cold January night. And he said, when I told her what I'd done, she said, Oral, you didn't put our entire paycheck in there. Yeah. He said, it's a whole lot colder inside than it was outside. He says, about 4 o'clock in the morning, somebody knocked on the door. And he said, I answered it. Keep the digging his family man get up. The man at the door was the wealthiest farmer in that county. He said, Oral, I didn't put anything in that offering tonight, and I should have. And I came to apologize to you. He said, Oral, I'm in trouble. He said, I've been playing around with the stock market, and I'm about to lose my farm. He said, if I don't get a miracle, I am going to lose it. He said, Oral, I'm a farmer. And being a farmer, I know you can't get a harvest without sowing a seed. And he handed him, he said, I dug this up out of my backyard. And he handed him 4 $100 bills. Oral had never seen a $100 bill. And he said, now, Oral, this is not money, this is seed. And he prayed with him, and it hit him. He said, I fanned those 4 $100s out and walked back in there and said, uh-huh. He said, it started our life of seed time and harvest, which opened the door for all the other ministries. He said, Kenneth, don't ever start anything. When they started Oral Roberts University, he and Edwin liquidated everything they owned financially, personally, brought it into the boardroom and laid it all on the table and sowed it in the beginning of Oral Roberts University. Amen. So, Father, we ask you to reveal to your people tonight what you would have them do. And whatever you say, that's what we'll do. And we praise you and thank you for it. Because you would never say anything that was to our detriment, but to our growth. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah.